The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Okay, and welcome back. It is the 6th of May already. George Filer is with us the first Tuesday of each month, and it is the first Tuesday tonight. Let's see how he's doing. Hello, George. Welcome, and how are you?
I'm fine. It's great and beautiful day in New Jersey today.
78 degrees, sunny,
like that.
Blue skies, chemtrails.
Right. I didn't even see any chemtrails.
Uh-oh. Better notify the feds about that. Did you see the video of the chemtrail sprayer landing at night and the pilot forgot to turn off the spray?
No, I didn't see that.
I will find it. I'll send it to you. It is tragically amusing. Very funny.
Well, I'd like to sample what's coming out of the plane.
We pretty well know, but I think they vary the potion depending upon what they want to do with it. So, yeah, it would be interesting. It was, I'll find it. I actually should repost it for you folks who missed it. It was pretty amazing. Okay, so what's new?
Well, we might have Third World War the way things are going in Ukraine.
Yeah, I know. I've been following that a little bit. I'm beginning to think now that Mr. Putin is in a lose-lose situation. If he goes in, he'll be condemned by the Western bankster elite as a savage brute, etc. If he doesn't go in, he'll be condemned as a coward by his own people. He has promised already that he would not stand for or permit the slaughtering and killing of Russian, pro-Russian, or separatists in the East. And that's going on. And nothing from Russia. If he doesn't go in, I hate to say this, but he is going to be irrevocably disgraced. And I'm not one who wants war. I don't want fighting. Nor do I want what happened in Odessa to be repeated. Wholesale murder, wholesale slaughter, paid for by, in all likelihood, American tax dollars, which are pouring into that regime, that coup that was pulled off in Kiev, that is not a legitimately elected government. No one can argue that. And we are, as you know, involved with spending $5.2 billion, according to Victoria Nuland, to successfully build up to the overthrow of the legitimately elected government in Ukraine. It took 5-6 years. So that's the truth. So we're at a very interesting crossroads right now.
Well, hopefully they'll be happy with getting 51 new vessels from the Ukraine when they went into Crimea.
51 what?
New. The Soviets obtained...
Russians.
Oh, yeah, the Russians, obviously. Russians obtained 51 vessels from the Ukraine.
Uh-huh.
Without resistance, and now makes them one of the largest navies in the world, much larger than the United States Navy. Which I thought was kind of interesting.
That is, yeah.
And they're really, I think, what Putin is really after is to keep the pipelines open to the rest of Europe so that he can obtain essentially a lot of money by doing that.
Well, everybody's out to obtain essentially a lot of money. That's what business is. And when you sell off your oil, your natural resources, our wheat, our citrus, our food, our anything, we're all in this. It's called capitalism. Nothing wrong with him making money on natural gas. It's amusing, though, that the IMF is loaning money to Ukraine, and Obama has already loaned enough money to pay half of Ukraine's gas bill to Gazprom, the Russian gas company. So we paid $1 billion of their $2 billion debt, and now Russia is demanding that Ukraine pay up front each month to protect their investment. I don't blame them.
It's not a good situation the way it is, obviously.
It's horrible. It's the city of Slovyansk is encircled. There are, one count, 170 tanks, hundreds of other armored military vehicles, ready apparently to do to Slovyansk what we did to Fallujah in Iraq. Much the same thing. Go in and destroy and slaughter all resistance. And that'll be depleted uranium and all the rest of it. I mean, that's the situation that Putin and Russia are confronted with. These are Russians and people of Russian heritage, extraction. They speak Russian in the East. They're very much Russian. There was no invasion of Crimea, as you know. Crimea was, in fact, by treaty, given to Russia as a base, and they were allowed to have, I think it was 26,000 troops. They only had 17,000 in Crimea when this went down, and yet the American media kept saying, Russian invasion of Crimea. It was no invasion at all. The Western media has shamed itself beyond redemption in this whole thing. Just my humble opinion.
Right. Well, there's another interesting thing that I noticed, that I'm not sure we're getting the truth anymore from the news media.
Oh, George, you just put your finger on the whole thing. We are not.
For example, Vladimir Putin became a strong Christian and is pushing Christian ideals and actually building churches and encouraging people to go to church there, and saying that the people of Russia should follow the principles, you know, of the Bible and so on. And part of that is to have, we'll say, marriage between a man and a woman. And the news media made that into a big problem throughout the, throughout these stories about him. And in a lot of ways, it's been unfair to him, I think. And I'm not a big favorite of Russia, but I think that
no apologies needed. And I agree with you. They have clearly been smearing the man. twisting his words, his actions, label. It's embarrassing to me as a professional to watch this. And you see it, too. You're in the news business.
And interestingly enough, he's putting, like, Christian principles around him and saying that America is the great Satan. And people don't realize that there's million-man marches, like in Paris, objecting to what the United States is doing and what Obama is doing about marriage and all that kind of thing. Whether you agree with it or not, I'm just saying we're not getting the news of what's going on around the world.
The news is heavily censored. Only 5 or 6 corporations, George, own and control over 95% of the media in this country. It's very simple to control what the people are told. And what they're told, they may not believe it, but that's all they have in their database, unless they go looking for, you know, the other side of the story.
Right, like, they certainly don't hear much about UFOs or that kind of situation.
When's the last time we saw a story about, seriously, of a major UFO sighting, a triangle over a busy urban area, something, which ought to be headlines in many cases?
We're getting 50 reports a day of UFOs, often flying very low and very large above people's homes.
They're not trying to hide anymore, are they? They're not playing stealth. They're just flying around. It's what it seems to me.
Right.
I wonder what they're up to. Very interesting. It's quite an enigma when you think about that. And no, they're not all ours. We have some very advanced flying machines, but nothing like what we're seeing. There are too many different kinds, too many different shapes. They do things that are just extraordinary. And so
we have lots of visitors from somewhere.
Somewhere, yeah. Yeah, it's not visitors from Wright Pat. These are visitors from way out there. Or people who have been here long before our current incarnation as the dominant sentient species on this planet is concerned. Maybe they've been here all along. Maybe they're from Mars. Maybe they're from Ganymede, one of Jupiter's moons. We don't know.
Yes, now they're saying there might be life on Ganymede, that there's layers of ice with water in between.
Uh-huh.
In any case, kind of like sandwiches of water and ice, and that there's probably life, you know, fish, that kind of thing there. And but, of course, there could even be a highly civilized area there. There's certainly indications that there's something going on Jupiter. And if you watch the satellite photos and so on, it picks up, you know, lights moving and almost like mining and so on. That,
on Ganymede or on the planet Jupiter?
Well, and the various satellites of Jupiter.
Uh-huh. 4 moons.
Right. Many moons. And some even have what appears to be, you know, some kind of traffic going on.
On one of the moons?
Yeah.
I must have missed that in Filer's Files. If you would like to get George's wonderful newsletter, it comes out once a week, all you have to do is ask. You can get it free. And if you look at the center column at Rents right now, you'll see right under the Fukushima section the most current 3 editions of George's Filer's Files. And just write to George at Major, M-A-J-O-R, Major Star, at Verizon.net. And say you heard him here and you'd like to please receive his newsletter. And it really is well produced. We have 16, 17, and 18 up there. Where should we start?
Well, something I'd like to emphasize is that there are patriotic Americans who are willing to talk about UFOs, and in Filer's Files 18,
uh-huh,
it says, time for truth about UFOs.
Way past.
And I didn't,
Yeah.
I didn't say this. The CIA director said this.
The current one?
No, an older one. Former CIA director, Vice Admiral Roscoe Hellencutter.
Uh-huh.
Sent a letter to Congress and said, it's time for the truth to be brought out. Behind the scenes, high-ranking Air Force officers are soberly concerned about UFOs. I used to be one of them. But through official secrecy and ridicule, many citizens are led to believe the unknown flying objects are nonsense. I urge immediate congressional action to reduce the dangers from secrecy about unidentified flying objects. This is from a former CIA director.
Yeah, it doesn't get any more impressive than that. He knew, but he had to speak of it as if it was another area of information, like he was calling for it. But he knew. Of course, the penalty for speaking out is not a very good thing to consider.
Well, we're still trying to have hearings in Congress. I don't know if we'll ever get them.
But. Nah, it's not relevant. Congress is corrupted beyond belief. That is a great picture. If you look at number 18, go to, again, to headlines on my site, or just go to George's site at nationalufocenter.com, and you can find it there, number 18. If you scroll down, you'll see a picture of CIA Director Hellencutter, and below that is a very impressive picture. This is a new picture. Looks like a Boeing jetliner of some kind being followed by a perfect disc. Perfect.
Yeah, taking over Belgium. We're still trying to find out for sure if it's, a true...
Could be a Photoshop. You don't know.
Right. We never know. But the point is that we're getting, around numbers 25 a week or something. Usually not quite as good as this, but we are getting a large number of pictures, and that there's people from various walks of life and aviation companies and NASA and so on who contact us and say, basically, keep it up, you're on the right track.
You are on the right track. You're doing a lot of things they wish they could do, I'm sure. Now, the only thing about this picture that is worrisome is the tail section of the plane, and how is it, there's a big smudge behind it. So I don't know what that means. Maybe it means nothing.
Well, it just came out of that cloud. It just flew through the cloud, and you're actually seeing...
It's emerging, maybe a shadow.
If you see the video, the plane goes through the cloud.
I see.
And the UFO is fairly stable, so to speak, kind of just sitting there, and the plane goes behind it.
Oh, really? The plane goes behind the disc?
Right.
That means the passengers on the starboard side got a pretty good eyeful.
Right, and we get reports from passengers fairly regularly that they see things, and also from the air crews. I was with a United pilot last week, and he had several sightings of UFOs. In other words, a lot of the pilots, obviously, when they're on active duty working for the company, they don't stand up in front of the TV and say that because they're probably get fired. But once they get retired, they call me and say, yes, we saw them. And I get radar operators, and they say that we've seen them too on our radars, but we're told not to confirm it to the pilot, to keep them separated. In other words, turn the aircraft away from the UFO or whatever. But because of my situation, and I imagine yours, we both get a lot of people calling in and explaining that things are going on. And I think you've had Clark McClellan as a guest, but he...
Oh, yeah. I just talked to Clark today.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I talked to him earlier this week, but in any case, he had seen things and knew the astronauts and claimed that many things were going on.
On the moon, for example, yeah.
Right. Ingo Swann was a friend of mine who recently passed away but worked for the government as a remote viewer, and he saw objects remote viewing, and his team saw objects on the moon and what he felt was mining going on there of a dark substance. Could be coal, could, you know, anything, a dark type thing, H3, hydrogen 3. Could, but in any case, there's other extraterrestrials visiting our moon and other planets as well. I don't know why it's such a big secret, but the government allegedly has even paid to have pictures like E.T. And so on, make sure that they make money and, you know, produce them and allow people to realize that something's going on and at least have this as, you know, part of what they understand. And but still have that deniability factor. That there hasn't been too many UFO pictures recently, but there's certainly a lot on the television programs and the History Channel and Science Channel and so on. Matter of fact, I was just contacted by a company that's putting together a film for the Smithsonian. They're getting into it. In other words, organizations that have fairly good reputations are starting to get interested in UFOs. It may be that they're feeling that it's just a matter of time before this information comes to the public. And I think a large... you see these polls that more people believe in UFOs than the fact that they'll... get Social Security when they retire. It's kind of interesting that this information is coming out, and some of the astronauts are talking, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
They've seen things and are willing to talk about it.
Yeah, okay. Well, we're looking at issue 18. We'll come right back with George and take a look at some of the sightings, and I see you've got some advertising on there, finally.
Right.
Good job. It worked. I hope you make a few bucks on it. Yeah, I talked to Clark today. He's in severe pain, as you know, and he will be on this program. Let's see. This Thursday. And he's got 22 chapters finished of his revelations.
Oh, good. We want to help him whenever we can.
Yeah, I've been sending him a lot of things to take and so forth. So, yeah. Okay, be right back in a minute. Issue 18, Filer's Files. A lot of geopolitical analysis in here, Mr. Filer.
Well, you know, I used to be an intelligence officer for the Air Force and wrote a lot of these kind of things while in the Air Force and send them out to just about all our units. even predicted the Tet Offensive in Vietnam. I had a pretty good...
Well, that's quite a call.
Ability in predicting things that were going to happen. I don't be blunt about it. I don't like the situation developing in the Ukraine, and I hope they can come to some kind of an agreement without, you know, fighting and so on.
Of course.
And you know, people don't realize, but our military has been set up for the last 10 years or more to fight in Afghanistan and Iraq, which is a completely different kind of war than to fight the Soviets with their brand new Russian T-90 tank, which is probably the best tank in the world. They have advanced aircraft and ships, and it wouldn't be an easy war, and you'd easily get into situations where nuclear weapons would be involved. And in any case, who knows what could happen. It could be very terrible. I don't think Putin wants that, and we don't want it, but sometimes things get out of hand, frankly, when you're in a war.
Yeah, especially when you have outsiders meddling in the affairs of sovereign nations, as we do so well, or so terribly. Iraq, Libya, Syria. You go on and on. We're in Venezuela up to our eyeballs trying to get rid of President Maduro so we can put a man sympathetic to the banking interests in there so we can begin to go after Venezuela's oil. Even the president of Bolivia says that the whole move is to try to take Venezuela's oil. They have a huge amount of oil. And the president of Bolivia doesn't necessarily like Venezuela.
No, I don't think so. Well, that system hasn't worked very well there, but at the same time, it seemed like the people of Venezuela could solve their problems.
Well, if we would just stay out, they could. We're in there messing around. There's a lot of reason to believe that Hugo Chavez was killed intentionally with cancer. We did that. We certainly can do it. Anyway, all right. What?
Well, one other thing I want to bring out is that this filer's files and those for the last 15 years or so have tried to show that people in other countries besides the United States are seeing UFOs.
Oh, yeah.
For example, this one has Argentina, Australia, Bulgaria, Canada, India, Ireland, Japan, Mexico, New Zealand, South Africa, England, United Kingdom, you know, Wales, Scotland,
India,
Ireland, so on. The point is that people from all over the world are sending us their reports of what they're seeing.
Mm-hmm.
Not to mention the fact that there's some 700 reports last month that were sent to MUFON, and a similar number to the National Reporting Center. The point is that we're getting over 1,000 reports a month, pretty close to 1,500 a month. And this is just two organizations, and there's many, many other organizations are getting reports. And I get them on a regular basis myself. You know, they're sending in the filers' files rather than MUFON, but I'm part of MUFON, the Eastern Director. And we're always looking for more field investigators, the people to look into this, that have interest in it, that whatever state you happen to live in, or even whatever country you happen to live in, we're always like to have investigators to talk to the people that have seen things in the sky. We realize that not every sighting is a real UFO, that a lot of times it's mistaken, you know, the ISS and going over or something like that. But We used to figure in the Air Force about a third of the sightings by our air crews were legitimate, you know, UFOs, unidentified flying objects, probably from somewhere else, you know, whether it's under the sea or Mars or off in a far distant planet. In any case, a large number of sightings are occurring for the last 50 years or more, and there's many sightings going on daily, and they seem to be coming increasing. Now, part of that has to do with the Internet. You know, people can go on the Internet and say, gee, there's something here, and we can report them.
But, well, they have their smartphones, and they take a picture, and they push a button or two, and all of a sudden the picture is sent to you. It's just that fast.
Now, usually they're you know, in the distance, but sometimes we do get good pictures.
Mm-hmm.
We try to put them up for everybody to see and try to keep the information flowing. And there's other things going on in the world and other planets that I think we should be aware of. And the truth is, I'm not sure we know that all our visitors are really friendly.
Well, I would think that, honestly, we should expect a mix, don't you? I mean, they're not all going to be of the same mind.
And they're, well, more interested in what's going on in their society or their civilization. Different people have been abducted, and some contactees have pretty much given us the same story that this is one of the greatest and nicest planets in this part of the universe. And we better start protecting it. And that we are just as important as elephants or other types of animals, and that if we don't protect our planet, we may lose it.
I think that's pretty much a foregone conclusion at this point. Nuclear power, all that waste, you know where to put it. Nothing to do. And we're on the edge, 24 hours a day, of another Fukushima-type disaster. And Fukushima, of course, just getting warmed up. Just a second, George. We'll come right back in a minute with George Filer, Filer's Files. George, and just kind of scanning through issue number 17, lots of very, very interesting things, as always. I was going to say something here. The F-35, the next generation fighter that the Navy and the Air Force and the, I guess the Army or the Marines will have their own versions. We've spent $1.5 trillion on the plane. I have a video running of one of the designers who worked on, what did he work on?
Another aircraft?
The F-22 or something. Anyway, he's a contemporary designer of aircraft. He said a 1950s vintage MiG could shoot the F-35 down in most dogfights with no trouble.
There's a lot of bad press coming out about the F-35.
Got no wings. They had to make the wings small so it could vertical takeoff and land, and the wings are what give the plane its maneuverability in a dogfight, and this plane just... It's a turkey. It's one of the biggest boondoggles in military history.
I did hear from the one of the pilots that they had trouble looking behind them, that the part of the seat
details
stuck up in a way that
details.
You couldn't see behind you very well.
It was a blind spot. Yeah, it's stupid.
Right.
The whole thing is just a boondoggle.
Now, as long as we're talking about airplanes, a friend of mine flew Boeing 777 for 5,000 hours or so, whatever. And I was spending some time with him, and we came up that we thought that probably the 5,400 pounds of lithium batteries caught fire and, you know, were smoking and so on, and probably knocked everybody out, and the autopilot just kept on flying. And
I wouldn't see, you know, why I don't think that could happen? Because there would be time for the pilots to issue verbal calls for help, maydays.
Well, that's true. Unless at the same time that the supposedly where the cargo was is near where the communication system are.
Uh-huh.
And then it might have, you know, caught fire and just knocked it out all at once because there was just that last communication and that was it. Now, that obviously, it's speculation for everybody, but I thought it was interesting that
you do know the last communication, the tape that was released, was edited. They took something out of the tape, the Malaysians. We're being lied to. And there was also 1.5 tons of unidentified cargo on board that no one will talk about either.
That's interesting.
No.
There's a lot that certainly hasn't been brought out. I've spent a lot of time looking into it, you know, because I used to fly, and it's interesting to me. And that was one of the safest airplanes in the world, and here this strange situation occurs. I mean, I've heard everything from, you know, it was shot down to landed somewhere else, you know, way up north.
Right.
There's a lot of different stories that...
Yep. Yeah,
we can all speculate.
There's no evidence whatsoever that the plane crashed. There's no evidence of anything. There's more evidence, certainly circumstantial, that the plane was hijacked. All Boeing airliners since 2007 or 8 have the ability to be overridden and remotely flown to guard against hijacking. So this plane could have been taken over and flown somewhere else out of control of the pilots.
That's interesting.
Yeah, well, that's another one. What was the video I was going to send you, the first video? I didn't want to forget to do that. See, now we've forgotten. I'll remember it.
Okay.
Okay, you did hear that the voice recording from Flight 370 was edited. Did you hear that one?
No, I did not.
Okay, I'll send you that one. I'll send you the cargo issue.
You know what was missing?
No, it was 1.5 tons of cargo was not on the manifest. It was put on without being manifested. What was that?
Theoretically illegal.
Yeah, of course. Well, in Malaysia, you pay a few bucks off to somebody or whatever they have over there, and you know you can do almost anything. Or if it was a government issue, they just ordered it to be done, and that was the way it is.
The 17 has... At least I think a lot of interesting information about cylinders.
Oh, fascinating. Now, a cylinder is a cylinder. I mean, it's not necessarily rounded at the ends. It could be cut off, square, right angles, as it were. They're not always tapered. And they're right there. Tell us more.
Well, it sounds funny, but there's evidence that going back to the 1600s, that the people were seeing these craft in the skies, and they're written up about, and even even pictures made. They don't make them the same way we do today, but wood cuttings of various craft and so on. That they in France, they even passed some laws against having contact with aliens. That this, again, this is not generally known, but of course, cylinders are one of the types that are often seen. There were cylinders allegedly at in Egypt when the Israelis left there, and you know, part of the Red Sea, that whole situation talked about in the Bible. At least some people feel that they may have been UFOs that actually departed the Red Sea. In Exodus 14, it goes into it in deep detail. But the point is that cylinders have been reported virtually throughout history, and that people should be aware of the fact that they are being seen. And I think what I saw when flying for the Air Force was a cylinder. We mainly had it on ground radar. London Control had a huge UFO on radar, and when I picked it up on my radar, it was roughly the shape of a bridge, and was very similar to the Firth of Forth Bridge in Scotland, which is along, and which is similar to, like, you know, Brooklyn Bridge or the San Francisco Bay Bridge, you know, a huge bridge. The type of radar return that you get is almost exactly the same. And so they've been prominent throughout history, and they're seen and even videotaped on a regular basis, and that people should be aware that that's something that they might see. And it kind of goes into detail in the article. But
yeah. Oh, it was, I was incorrect on the amount of non-manifested cargo on that flight. It was 2.3 tons.
Hard to say what that could be. It could be some kind of ammunition or guns or any, a lot of different.
Well, it said what the manifest does say is that NNR Global shipped 133 pieces of one item weighing 1.99 tons and 67 pieces of another item weighing 463 kilograms for a total consolidated weight of 2.453 tons. So we don't know what they were.
Know what that company makes.
I haven't read the whole story here.
It's going to China, so
Yeah.
Might be some kind of classified
Well, they're saying it was radio accessories and chargers, but no. They wouldn't not keep those off a manifest. The mystery was sparked by a spokesman for the company that shipped the batteries, telling a Malaysian newspaper that he would not reveal what the remaining 2.253 tons of cargo were. So this thing's getting more and more suspicious all the time.
Well, that seems like it could be something that was dangerous. They don't even allow the batteries to be flown aboard American aircraft. So.
Correct. Yeah.
So something certainly could have happened.
Well, now they're saying that 11 terrorists with links to Al-Qaeda have been arrested on suspicion of being involved in the disappearance of Flight 370. That's just news out today. Airline has admitted 200 kilograms of lithium batteries were among the items. They refused to say what else, citing legal reasons, whatever that means.
Well, there's going to be a lot of suits coming in the next few years.
Oh, yeah.
Against the airline and so on, and if it showed that they carried ammunition or things that were highly flammable, that they could sue them for, you know, carrying that aboard with passengers.
Of course.
But that's the kind of thing you should carry aboard a cargo aircraft or a ship or something. You know.
That's a big airplane, the 777.
Yeah. And it has a good record, so it's unlikely to have anything happen. I mean, out of the ordinary.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, George, thank you. Our time is up. It went fast. I appreciate it.
Right.
Anytime, let me know if you want to get on before next month. We make room for you. And keep up the good work. Remember, if you want to get George's newsletter, Filer's Files, just drop him an email, Major, M-A-J-O-R, Major Star, at Verizon.net. Thanks, my friend. Take care of yourself.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay. Good night. All right. We'll be right back with Hour 2 in a minute.